Hello and welcome to Love Your Life Now podcast. Today, Kundalini Corner. This will be a particular talk on how to apply your relationships using the Kundalini Yoga wisdom. My name is Sonia Sophie, and imparting her wisdom on us today will be my wonderful friend and Kundalini Yoga teacher,
Christina Sergun Powers.
Yay! And we have a special guest today in the studio.
In the house.
And that is our friend,
Laura Thompson.
And she has just finished a wonderful class focusing on relationships, a Kundalini Yoga class with Christina. So we're all in the zone for this topic right now. Yeah.
Right. And Laura is a very, I would say, disciplined Kundalini yogi. She practices at least 2 to 3 times a week, and she's been coming to my classes for 3 years, so she's, I think, very well versed on this topic.
And we talked about the discipline
just
last week.
Right.
So what about relationships? How can we use Kundalini wisdom in our daily life to make our relationships better? Or what is the essence of a relationship as seen from the Kundalini angle?
One of the things that I talked about earlier this week in one of my classes is that the Kundalini energy, it's a real energy, and it comes from the base of the spine. And what it's balancing literally is the yin and the yang. It goes to the Pingala and the Ida, which is in the brain. It's the feminine and the masculine. When that is out of balance, the way in which we relate to other people is out of balance. And that's either the family relationships you have, the coworker relationships, the way you relate to people on the streets in your daily life, and your romantic relationships.
Last week you mentioned after the podcast about how you do all your relationships is decided in the first few years of your life.
Mm-hmm.
Or can
mm-hmm.
you expand mm-hmm. on that?
Sure.
Let's start with that, because that's
great idea.
Early life.
Thank you. So the way we play out relationship is already established from womb to the age of 17. What happens in those years, that's how we relate, and or we are working to work through the problems that are not solved through those relationships. So in the first 0 to 3, obviously it's the mother relationship and how nurtured we feel, how cared we feel, how taken care of, and how safe we feel. And once that has passed, we don't have to resolve any relationship with the mother. That's it. It's that time frame. The father comes in next, between age 3 to 7. That's where the father begins to take over. And again, we feel cared for, we feel loved, we feel taught, we feel safe. Or not. We feel that there is the father is a very safe figure, the father is a very protective figure. Or maybe not. When it comes to the age of 7, we're moving to school. So what becomes critical are our peer relationship, our socialization, the way in which we socialize. And if there was some sort of fear factor trauma that happened when we were entering school, is where it is. That's where it happens. I mean, we either get it in those moments or it's a problem, and then high school is horrible. The grandparents come in, and it's that it's the community. So it's the community outside of your core family. And it's, do you have a grandparent, do you have grandparent surrogates who have this nurturing feeling that outside of my family, when I move outside of the family, there is this love and care that is outside of this core house. And if you don't have that, if the ball just kind of drops and you don't feel supported by the community, or you don't feel supported by your family that's outside of the core.
So that would increase your feelings of being alone in the world.
Very much. Mm-hmm. I mean, you immediately go from this, let's say you had wonderful mothering, fathering, but somehow there was a disconnect. There weren't any grandparents on the scene, or there were no grandparent representatives to feel that you were supported by the community. You would not really want to leave that house.
Or even worse, you had grandparents that may have been not at all nurturing. You had them.
A negative influence.
Exactly.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And that would make you afraid of the rest of the world, I guess.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. So then there's, I think the grandparents come right after the father, the peer relationship. And then after that is a spiritual relationship. It's how you relate to Source, to God. So there's a teacher, a spiritual teacher enters the scene. And sometimes, you know, young people come across spiritual teachers when they're in their teens, and that can be devastating because the spiritual teacher might not be
spiritual.
And it can cause this whole flip-flop of, you know, really rejecting God, rejecting spirit, rejecting that whole part of themselves. And then what plays out in our 20s is we are, the way in which we relate to the world has everything to do with those relationships. Now the spiritual teacher may come on the scene in the teens, but the spiritual teacher might not come to the 20s, to the 30s. That's progression. It could come as early as the 20s, and that can be very harsh if it's not a really, you know, a real spiritual teacher.
Right.
But we spend that rest of that time either working out the father, the mother, the grandparent, the peer. And if it's the spiritual teacher, the spiritual teacher.
So let me go back and maybe have you clarify that. When you're saying about the mother and, you know, all the issues happen between 0 and 3 and then there are no more issues, that does not mean there are no more issues, but it means that whatever the issues that I may have with my mother have been created during that time frame, and when they show up again or seem to show up again later on, they're only a repeat of something that happened between the ages 0 and 3.
Yes.
So now if I want to really get into what is the real meat to this issue, I should look back at what actually happened between my mother and I from 0 to 3.
Mm-hmm.
And
yes.
From there, I can look at, oh, this is what happened, and oh, this is how it repeated when I was 5, this is how it repeated when I was 12, this is how it's repeating then I'm 30. That's what you're talking about.
And okay, so then I'm going to move into how this relates to your romantic relationships, or how it relates, and it doesn't have to be romantic relationships, it's the way in which you relate to everybody else in the world. We are magnetic fields, right? And that's what we do in Kundalini Yoga, is we are constantly working to amplify that magnetic field, which is your personality. When your personality is feeling low and, you know, introverted, like you just don't have any power projection, your auric field, that energy field is low. And through the breath, through the work we do, we amplify it. And so we are balancing also our negative and our positive charge, which is you're balancing your pingala and your ida in the brain and the pituitary. You're balancing your yin and your yang. You're balancing that energy flow from your root, where the kundalini is at the base of the spine, you know, the rectum, the pelvis, the navel, all of that energy, and it moves up fluidly. And when it's moving fluidly and there are no blocks in the body, then we have that balance of feminine, masculine, negative, positive energy. When I speak of negative and positive energy, it's the charge. It's not what we term of, oh, she's negative or she's positive. It's the charge. It's the literal physical charge.
Electricity.
Mm-hmm. We can be over positively charged, or we can be over negatively charged. Too limited, too fearful is in the negative charge, or we can be over positively charged, where we have no grounding, we are like gas floating, no form, just expansive and explosive. When you come across somebody, whatever conflicts you have, you're having a conflict with the relationship of either your mother. And not to put this in terms of Freud, it's the lack of what you were given in that nurturing relationship with the mother, if that's the case, or if it's the father, the protective relationship, or if it's the grandparents, the community support, or if it's the peer, the socialization. So whatever you didn't work out in those first few years of life up to 12, 13, when you come in contact with somebody, if there is a conflict, it's because they are mirroring the lack, what you're missing. They're mirroring the very thing that irritates you and just spurs you on. You come together like magnets.
Because of the difference in
charge. Because of the difference of the charge, exactly. There's a positive, there's a negative, and something is drawing you together, because of that energetic, let's say, the missing piece. Mm-hmm. And you can work it out with them. Mm-hmm. If you're conscious enough to do it, or you can just be so highly irritated, like, I don't ever want to see that person, they remind me of so-and-so, and I, and on a subconscious level, we don't even know they remind us of the mother or the father, the grandparent, or
right.
the community, or the peer
right.
that we were, you know, so deeply hurt by. We don't even mostly realize that. We just right. know there's something in us that is so incredibly irritated that we suddenly put on our, you know, our protective shield, and we go at it. And it could be the person we married. It could be our best friend. It could be the coworker, the boss, or the person down the street that every time you walk in the door, it's just amplified the way you feel. And you don't know why this person brings that on you, but that is why.
So how do you deal with that?
Good question. You come to more Kundalini yoga classes. But
that helps.
That helps. One, just kind of do some deep understanding of it. Just kind of, I would say, if you're not going to Kundalini yoga classes particularly to deal with that, just think about what we've talked about or what I've mentioned here. Going back and looking, journaling is great for this. Just kind of look at the first 3 years of your life. How was that relationship with the mother? Did you feel nurtured? Did you feel safe? How was the relationship with the father? Write about how you felt protected. Between age 3 to 7. Between 7 to 9 is when the grandparent, the community comes in. Did you feel connected to your community? Did you feel connected to the family outside of your parents? And then what was it like socializing in school? And look at those moments. And did you find a spiritual teacher? Did you maybe never? Were you looking? And maybe that's the piece that's missing for you. Maybe you're always looking for a spiritual teacher, spirituality, and maybe you've rejected it and you're an atheist or an agnostic, and I'm not saying anything against that, but there's some sort of rejection in not having the source, and or you don't know what to believe. You have lack of faith or lack of connection.
Okay, so let's take this a step deeper and say, okay, it's the person I married.
It usually is. It always is, because there's a reason you two came together. The person you married, and when I went through this course, it's called Authentic Relationships. The person you married is the person that you have unresolved relationships, and that's the very reason you married them. And they say in the Kundalini world that the hardest yoga you will ever do is having a marriage, is agreeing to spend that rest of your life with somebody.
And let me have you clarify again. Now, it does not mean that every woman that marries a man that always represents the father. It could represent the grandparents
mother.
Or the mother or the father.
Or the peer.
Or the peer. It could represent any of them.
Or the spiritual teacher.
So it's, you know, I just wanted to clarify that mm-hmm. so that we don't start thinking that all women have father issues and, mm-hmm. you know, that's why they're married. So
no.
it's,
and the
it
same
could be
thing.
Anyone. And that's the mystery
mm-hmm.
to start with.
Yeah, you don't know until you really start kind of having a dialogue either with yourself and recognizing it. And if your partner is open, recognizing in each other, you can have a dialogue back and forth. And it comes down to this. It's giving and receiving. In the relationship, one of you is the giver and one of you is the receiver. Now, usually people don't see themselves in the way they really are. They think that they're the giver when in fact they're the taker. And being a taker is not bad. None of this is, you know, negative, but it's like you need to receive, and what's happening is you're giving, 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 but you're not getting anything. You're doing the exact opposite of what you really need to be happy, healthy, and whole. You need to be receiving. And a person over here, they need to be giving. But what the opposite sometimes happens is you're just giving, 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 and you feel completely depleted. And they're just taking, 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 and they just can't get enough because they're not able to give anything. And that's really the role of the relationship. So it's finding out what the charge is, you know, the positive and the negative, and how you fit together better if there is this conflict. And looking at, you know, the way in which you relay the message and speak to each other. Are you speaking to them in a way that they are hearing the message you're giving? Or are you speaking in a way and they're hearing a completely different story?
That's usually what happens.
They're hearing a completely different message because they're hearing what they want to hear. They're hearing what they're missing, and neither one has recognized the real roles that the two people play in each other's lives.
I guess people are maybe wondering now, what can make this better? And really, the only thing in the end to make this better is to get to know yourself better.
Which brings me to say, my conflict resolution skills used to suck. But as I have looked at how I'm delivering something. Okay, delivery was something that was never important to me. I never saw the importance of delivery. It was just, hey, I'm trying to get the information out. Okay, but how it's delivered to that other person can make all the difference in whether they are hearing what you're saying or they automatically shut it out. I was a very raw deliverer. And for certain people, it was great. It was like, okay, facts, just the facts. Give me the facts. I'm good with the facts. For other people, it hit an emotional chord, you know. And so I had to realize this in myself. My message wasn't getting across, not because I didn't have anything to say or because it, you know, was a bad message. It was just simply my delivery. And that was something that was within my control, you know, within my awareness to be able to change. And it makes all the difference in the world, because then you can actually start a dialogue mm-hmm. when you have both sides that are listening. But like you said, you can only do what's on your side. You have to take responsibility and accountability for your side.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, but what you do can affect the other side.
Exactly. And that is actually the great thing in this, because when we look around and if we have a lot of relationships that are not going the way we want them to go, the good thing is we don't have to go out and try to change all those other people.
Right.
We can't. And that's what people traditionally have been trying to focus on. I'm going to change this person, tell them what's wrong with them. I'm going to tell them what's wrong with them. And that does not work. It just creates more chaos. And the good news is that all the solutions are within ourselves, and it does not really matter what the other person does or doesn't do, or if they even know about that they're representing the community mm-hmm. or whatever. As long as I become aware of what's going on within myself by way of changing myself, as you just mentioned, Laura, people then all of a sudden appear to have changed mm-hmm. to me. Wow, it's miraculous.
Exactly. Yeah, you don't have to convince the other person to do anything.
I'm here on this planet, and my challenge is to figure out within myself, what can I do to become a better person myself, so that miraculously everything changes around me. And really, that is the lesson not only for relationships, but for everything in life. And Kundalini Yoga helps us gain that awareness of ourselves and of the workings of the universe, if you so will. We become more aware, more tuned into that, so that then we actually have some tools to make these internal changes happen, right?
That's what it's all about.
That's what it's all about. And with that, we're already at the end of today's episode. Thanks for tuning in. Make sure you go back and listen to it a couple more times. I certainly will. And what I noticed is that when weeks later I go back and I listen to one of the older podcasts, yeah. I'm always like, oh yeah, we said that. That's correct. Oh my gosh, I almost forgot, right? Oh, you know, this person said this awesome, wonderful thing. I need to remember that. So listen to these podcasts again and again. If you enjoyed them the first time, there's definitely another nugget in there for you when you're listening to them the second or the third time, a couple of weeks apart. And also share them with your friends, people that, you know, maybe it's you're feeling, hey, maybe this person should know that they might want to work on themselves, but I can't be the one telling them. Let us tell them in a beautiful way. And with that, we will be back soon. Till then, we want to make sure that you
love your life now.